بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أما بعد. Today inshallah we continue with the etiquettes of relieving oneself. And the first etiquette that we will discuss inshallah is that one must only lift his garment when one comes closer to the ground. And this is from the hadith of Ibn Umar that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam would come to relieve himself, he would wait until he came closer to the ground before lifting his garment. And the reasoning here is that one must be very careful so as not to reveal one's private areas when relieving oneself. And the Sheikh mentioned, of course, that nowadays when one might be at home or in a private restroom where it is completely enclosed, that this sort of worry is not there. I mean, that one will have this privacy, and that the awra, the private parts, will not be revealed. But if it happens that one is outside, not within enclosed walls, then it is important to follow this etiquette. And the Sheikh also mentioned furthermore that if one can perhaps find a tree or a large rock or obstacle, that would be even more appropriate, and will fulfill this requirement that one must protect one's awra, or private areas, from being revealed. The sixth etiquette, or the next etiquette that we discuss today, which is the sixth in the list, is that when one enters the area to relieve himself, the du'a that should be said is Bismillah, Allahumma inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. So one starts by saying the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I seek refuge in Allah, inni a'udhu bika min al-khubthi wal-khaba'ith. And these are the male and female shayateen. And the Shaykh mentioned also that the word khubth and khaba'ith here is derived from ma'asi or sins. And so in fact the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained this by saying that when you say this dua, it is a reason to protect oneself, sa'awra, from the jinn. It protects the awra of Ibn Adam from the jinn when they say Bismillah. And so it is very important to remember that we start with by mentioning the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to kind of protect our awra, our private areas, from the jinn. The seventh point that we would like to make about regarding the etiquettes of relieving oneself is not to face the Qibla or to give it your back. And the hadith is narrated by Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if one of you comes to relieve oneself, do not face the Qibla or give your back to it, but face east or west. So again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this is the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari, that if one of you comes to relieve yourself, do not face the Qibla or give it your back, but rather face east or west. And of course the Shaykh also explained this last point and kind of elaborated, saying that depending on your situation, if you're in a country where you are to the east of the Qibla or the west of the Qibla, then in that case obviously you wouldn't face east or west. So obviously the requirement is not to face the Qibla or give it your back, depending on where you are relative to it. And the Shaykh also mentioned another hadith here, which we will come to in greater detail in the following etiquettes, but this is from this was when a man asked Salman. He said, her Prophet has taught you everything, including relieving yourself and how to relieve oneself. And Salman replied, he said, yes. And he elaborated, he said, he ordered us not to face the Qibla, nor to clean with our right hands, nor with less than three stones, nor to clean with the fertilizer or the droppings of the animals, or with the bones of the animals. And so this was in response to the question, and we'll elaborate on these other requirements further, inshallah. Regarding the not facing the Qibla and forbidding of facing the Qibla when relieving oneself, Ibn Hazm explains that this command implies or applies rather whether one is indoors or outdoors. So it does not matter whether one is out in the desert, for example, or in an enclosed area, not facing the Qibla or giving or and not facing and not giving it your back while relieving oneself, it must be maintained or must be followed. This order must be followed regardless. Also, there is Yahya ibn Yahya narrates that he asked Sufyan, he said, "Did you hear from the Zuhri the hadith of Abu Ayyub al-Ansari that which was the hadith that we mentioned earlier, that the Prophet ﷺ forbade us from facing the Qibla when relieving ourselves and from giving it our backs and rather to face east or west? And also, did you hear that Abu Ayyub al-Ansari had added to this that when they had arrived in the Sham later on, they had found toilets that had been erected, and these toilets were facing the Qibla. So they would avoid using the toilets exactly so as to turn their faces away from the Qibla and then ask for istighfar from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." And Yahya responded, "Yes, he did hear this," and that addition from Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. Now, the Sheikh then discussed the point, which is a couple of narrations which appear to conflict with this order of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which forbids us from facing the Qibla or giving our backs to it when relieving ourselves. And the first is Hadith of Ibn Umar, where he narrates that he went to the top of the house of Hafsa radiallahu anha, and he to do something, and he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam relieving himself, and he was with his back towards the Qibla, and he was facing the Sham. So this is the first narration that seems to contradict the previous ahadith. And the second one is from Marwan al-Asfar, where he says he saw Ibn Umar, where he had, gotten off his camel and kind of stood behind his camel, so the camel was between him and the Qibla. And he proceeded to urinate, so facing the Qibla with the camel sort of in between. And Marwan asked him, he said, "Oh yeah, Abu Abdurrahman," asked him with his kunya, he said, has the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam not forbidden us from facing the Qibla when we relieve ourselves, when we urinate?" And he responded, "Yes, but that is only when you are in the outdoors and there is nothing between you and the Qibla." So these are the two narrations that might cause some confusion and some conflict regarding this. And the answer to this, as the Sheikh mentioned from the teachings of his Sheikh Jalil rahimahullah Albani, that first of all, we must focus. We must, when considering this topic, we need to keep in mind that it seems like there's a conflict here between actions and sayings, which is a common theme sometimes in many issues of fiqh and commands and things that where it seems it might be forbidden in one narration and being done in another narration. So we have here apparent conflicts between the actions and sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So how do we resolve this? The Shaykh mentions in this particular situation four points. The first is the sort of fundamental aspect or rule that is followed, which is that the narrations that are marfu' are given higher status to those that are mawquf, meaning when something is marfu' to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, attributed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is given a more weight as what is only right up to the sahabi and not the companion, not the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So in this case, we have a hadith marfu' that clearly state that it is forbidden to urinate or defecate while facing the Qibla or with your back turned towards it. So we give these higher priority to these other narrations that are mawquf to Sahabi. Secondly, is if we find that the actions and sayings are in conflict, then we always we give preference or we give weight or precedence to the sayings. And that is because of the following reasons. Perhaps the actions were done due to certain circumstances that are not apparent through the narration. Furthermore, they might be due to this, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of course, has a special status. For example, in the number of wives he was allowed to marry. So there are certain things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has that are exclusive to him. And so if we have a saying that is clear from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that appears to be in conflict with one of these actions, then the saying is given precedence. Also, because the sayings are, you know, the commands and the sayings, these are the kind of the fundamental rulings on issues, because they are clear and concise and such. The third point is that, in general, if there is a conflict between a narration that forbids a certain action and one that appears to allow it, we again give precedence to one that forbids, as a precautionary measure, or to be extra cautious in this regard. And so, in this case, we would give precedence to the sayings that forbid this action, as opposed to ones that may perhaps seem to imply that they are allowable. And this is again as a precautionary measure, so as to avoid falling into the haram in any case. Fourthly, is that there are other ahadith. For example, the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, that one who spits towards the Qibla, he comes on the Day of Judgment with this spit between his eyes. And so this is a hadith that is forbidding one from even spitting towards the Qibla. And so on a more general note, one would expect something, you know, more something such as defecating or urinating to be haram when one is facing or with his back towards the Qibla. So those were the points regarding those narrations that appear to conflict with the commands of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam regarding not facing the Qibla or turning your back towards it when relieving oneself. So the next etiquette, inshallah, that is number 8 in this section is taking care to protect oneself from the urine, from the spraying of the urine, so that it does not either affect or hit the body or one's clothes. And in fact, this is a very severe punishment for not obeying this. And of course, the hadith of Ibn Abbas that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam once passed by a wall in Mecca or Medina, and he heard the sounds of two people being punished severely in their graves. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us from the punishment of the grave. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam remarked, he said, "They are being punished, and what they are being punished by are small things, meaning in the eyes of people, but in fact they are very severe." And the two sins that they had committed was that one of them would not protect himself from the urine, meaning he was not careful to make sure that his clothes and his body would remain clean from any of the spray of the urine. And the other would engage in backbiting continuously. The ninth etiquette is now going back to the hadith of Salman that we had mentioned earlier, where he mentioned a number of etiquettes to be followed when one is relieving oneself. And specifically, we mentioned that one must not use his one's right hand to clean following defecation or urination. And as we mentioned, this was mentioned by Salman, but there are also the following ahadith from Aisha radiallahu anha that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would use his left hand for relieving himself and his right hand for wudu and eating and food. And similarly, the hadith of Abi Qatada, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, "If one of you drinks, do not breathe in the drink. And when relieving yourselves, do not touch your private areas with your right hand, and do not clean them following your defecation or urination with the right hand." The tenth point is to clean with water. As an additional measure, and the istihbab of cleaning with water, whereas it is permissible, as we had mentioned in the previous ahadith, to simply use stones. You know, of course, practically in those times, water could have, especially in the desert, there might have been a shortage of water. There might have been difficult circumstances. The Sahaba were in a battle, perhaps. So being the stones being sufficient for cleaning was relieved them from having to search for water. So it is sufficient to use the stones, but of course it is mustahab to also clean with water. And of course nowadays, alhamdulillah, you know, things are much easier, of course, and water is usually readily available. But we just make the point that if one is in a situation that one is traveling, or perhaps maybe during Hajj at certain times where water is very short, then we emphasize that again, cleaning with stones is sufficient. And regarding, you know, the cleaning with water, and there is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, where he mentions that the Prophet ﷺ once went to relieve himself, and he Anas would come to him with a small leather container with water, from which the Prophet ﷺ used to clean himself. The number 11 in the list of etiquettes is that if one is using stones, one must use no less than 3 stones. And again, this is what was mentioned in the hadith of Salman that we referred to multiple times. And also supporting hadith is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had ordered them to use 3 stones. The 12th etiquette, inshallah, is that one should not use the droppings of animals or the bones of animals to clean oneself following urination or defecation. And the hadith of Abu Huraira is that when he once followed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was the Prophet had distanced himself to relieve himself, and so Abu Huraira came close, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him to bring him stones to clean with. And he told him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Abu Huraira, do not bring the droppings or the bones. And so Abu Huraira went and obtained the stones, you know, in his thobe, and brought them to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to use. And so the implication here is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically forbade us from using the bones or the droppings of the animals, bones of the animals or droppings of the animals in this regard, in cleaning oneself following urination or defecation. And in fact, there are other ahadith regarding this. There is the hadith of Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, where he narrates the Prophet ﷺ asked him to bring 3 stones. And Abdullah went and searched, and he said he only found 2 stones. He searched and he searched, and he could not find a third. So he brought some droppings as well to the Prophet ﷺ. And so the Prophet ﷺ, took the stones and threw the droppings away, and he said, had that edge, this is evil or impure. And so again, this is the implication that it should not be used in this regard. And there's also the hadith of Jabir that the Prophet ﷺ again forbade cleaning with the bones or the animal droppings. And finally, in the hadith of Ibn Mas'ud, the Prophet ﷺ actually gives a reasoning for this. The Prophet ﷺ, he said, do not clean with bones or droppings, for they are the zed of our brothers of the jinn. They are the, the provisions of our brothers of the jinn. So that if we use them to clean ourselves, they become haram on them. So we are taking from their provisions in that case. So this is the explanation given by the Prophet ﷺ for not using these items to clean ourselves, because they are the provisions of our brothers of the jinn. Number 13 is one must not answer salam or even begin and give salam while urinating or relieving oneself in general. And the hadith of Ibn Umar is that a man had passed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was urinating, and he gave salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not reply to him. And furthermore, there is the hadith of Al-Muhajir ibn Qunfil, where he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was urinating, and he gave salam to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't reply to him, and in fact he waited until he was done, and he made wudu, and then he responded to the man in salam, and furthermore he apologized to him and explained to him why he didn't respond to him earlier and return his salam, because he mentioned that he sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not want to mention Allah's name in a state of impurity. And the Sheikh mentioned here, emphasized, this is the beauty of the prophetic sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the manners and etiquette in perhaps you explain yourself to somebody, so as to so that they do not go away with ill feelings and misunderstanding. Here is a man that comes and gives salam to the Prophet, and the Prophet doesn't respond. So he might have all sorts of ideas, but the Prophet kind of goes out of his way and explains to him why he had not done this. So this is the beautiful manners of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The 14th point or etiquette is to say ghufranak at the end. And this is from the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would say when finishing, or relieving the ghait, when completing, relieving himself, he would say ghufranak. And the scholars, Allahu a'lam, but the scholars, the Sheikh mentions that the scholars kind of try and derive a meaning from this, and they say perhaps you are making istighfar to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that preceding period where you could not mention His name, you could not engage yourself in dhikr and remembrance of Allah because of the situation you were in, and so you make istighfar at the end. Regardless, the hadith is, or the the etiquette is to say ghufranak once you are complete. And finally, the 15th point that we mentioned today was that once done with cleaning oneself, that you should rub your hands in the ground. And again, this is something that, of course, they did because of the times, but now the Sheikh mentions, of course, something like, soap and detergents is obviously sufficient nowadays. The implication being that you just want to clean your hands from anything that might be stuck to them following the actions, of relieving oneself and cleaning oneself. And the hadith of Abu Huraira is that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he would relieve himself, in the outdoors, he would then, before, after cleaning himself, he would then rub his hands in the dirt before leaving. And that is the conclusion of the lesson today, inshallah. And the Sheikh just mentioned that next week, next lecture, inshallah, we'll be discussing the jawaz of urinating while standing, the permissibility of urinating while standing in its conditions, and that will be, and that discussion will be next week, inshallah. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.